God be the glory for all the things that he has done. If God has blessed you thus far on this Sunday, why don't you give God your best praise in the house? For truly God has been good to us, and we declare praises unto his holy name. Well, it's so glad to be back with you. Many of you know that we've just returned from our mission trip to Kenya. We took a team of 17, which I think is the largest team we've ever taken there. And God has done some phenomenal things through the ministry, so much that I want to report to you. But I want to save some of it because I want to share some pictures with you on next Sunday by God's grace. But by God's grace, we've seen at least 27 individuals come to Christ. And we baptized 17, I believe it is. So help me. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. We saw God do so many things through the ministry and the impact of the ministries there in the land of Kenya, and I look forward to sharing more of that with you. I do want to thank God that as we continue in our series, thank God for Pastor Brett and all those who served during my time away, but I want to continue in our series and invite your attention to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Matthew, the 18th chapter is where our message for the morning is going to come from. Matthew, the 18th chapter. And this may be a familiar teaching of Christ to some of you who've been hanging around the church for a while, but I want us to zero in together at beginning at the 21st verse. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. The text says, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii and seized him. He began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servants fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, the master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay the debt, all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." This is the word of God. And as God is speaking, as Christ is speaking to his followers, he is challenging us to understand his expectations of those who have been delivered by the grace of God. For today, as we continue our series, Jesus On, we'll be looking at Jesus on forgiveness. Would you say that? Jesus on forgiveness. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the blessed privilege you've given us. Now, humbly, I ask that you would speak to us through your Spirit that we might hear the truth of your word, gain revelation and insight from your word that it might apply to our lives, that our lives might be lived out in such a way that it gives you glory. Grow us that we might reflect more of you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Labor and delivery is hard. thought I'd get some mothers to give me at least one amen in there. Of course, I'm not speaking from experience, but most of us, I hope not. But most mothers can tell you whether the children are toddlers or the children are teenagers or the children are adults with children of their own. They can tell you all about how hard the labor was. Don't look at your children right now. It's probably not the best time. Carrying children, rearing children, providing for children, sacrificing for children, forgiving children, and teaching children to forgive. Well, it's not for the faint of heart. We come into this world in need of relationships. One of the first relationships God gives us, particularly if a godly mother, is that relationship with a mother and a child. And if you have a godly mother, I thank God for my wife. I see her there, the mother of my four kids. And she's taught them so much, and all that she's taught them. She taught them how to dress, taught them how to speak clearly, taught them how to represent themselves. But she also taught them something else. As a godly mother, she taught them how to forgive. And this is what Christ teaches us in his text, in our text today. It is our mandate, our command as Christians that we are to practice forgiveness. I got one amen. That's probably all I'm going to get today. You know, we come and we have relationships. And if we're honest about it, sometimes relationships end in disappointment. Sometimes it's through relationships that we feel the most trouble. In fact, relationships, well, can be hard. One day you're enjoying friendship, and the next day you fall out of friendship. One moment you're in love, and the next moment you're in hate. Some of you looking at me, you don't understand this, so I'm going to pull back in history. In the 71, the Persuaders came out with a song, A Thin Line Between Love and Hate. Now, some of y'all don't know that. Y'all know R. Kelly and all that, so that's some remixes. But that line between love and hate is what I like to consider as the commitment line. You see, that song represents a message of how easy it is to leave our commitment to love and enter into the downward spiral of hate. And what Jesus teaches us is both necessary and challenging to us. Come on, let's be real about it. Because there are times when Jesus teaches us some things that are countercultural. It's almost unnatural. In fact, sometimes if we're honest about it, we struggle to fulfill the teachings of Christ. One such struggle I believe all of us have room to grow in is in being obedient to his command to forgive. See, the truth is that God is willing to forgive us of all our sins, and we are to forgive all who sin against us in response. I hope you wrote that down, because this is indeed the mandate of our text. And we are challenged to answer, will we move forward in forgiveness, or will we harbor the hurts of the past and allow it to halt our progress by keeping us trapped in unforgiveness? In fact, when I said forgiveness, somebody may have popped into your mind. I hope they're not here this morning, but here we are being challenged. See, Jesus has much to say on this topic of forgiveness. Though the Bible is replete with many lessons about forgiveness from Genesis to Revelation, when Jesus ministered on earth, he spoke a lot about forgiveness. He spoke about his willingness to forgive sin. He spoke about his intentional sacrifice to provide for the forgiveness of sin. He also talked about his command to us to forgive others. And these are constant teachings. Among the many lessons we learn as believers, one we must continue to grow in is that of forgiveness. Because the devil, who's the real enemy, will utilize whoever is available to offend you, to persecute you, to disappoint you, to backstab against you, to betray your trust. The enemy will use whoever he can because he wants to destroy your intimacy with God, and unforgiveness does just that. Unforgiveness is what tears relationships apart. Unforgiveness is what rips relationships apart. Homes fall apart. Marriages come apart. Churches split apart because of unforgiveness. When we continue to harbor the hurts, I'll be in prison from the pains of the past. We are not in the area where God desires us to be. See, Christ is teaching his disciples in this text, as he continues in his teaching, of how we are to resolve it when we have issues with one another. And while he's teaching that early on in the 18th chapter, Peter raises his hand. Anybody remember when you were in school? Anybody remember when you were in school? Anybody. I'm talking about, now hold on, not new school. I'm talking about those of you who remember when you're in school and you had those hard desks. Okay, come on with me for a moment. You know, the desk where your books are underneath the seat and is iron, and some of y'all carved your name on the top of them. You remember that, right? You remember that. And you remember when you were in class and the teacher was teaching? Do you remember that time where you were hoping somebody would ask the question that you were thinking, but you didn't want to ask it? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you like Peter to be in your classroom? Because here's Peter in the text, and Peter raises his hand. He says, I have a question. And when you look at Peter's question here, it almost leans toward Peter having someone specific in his mind. Look with me at the text. Because Peter goes to the Lord, and when he goes to the Lord, he says to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? How long do I have to put up with this? I've been trying to be a Christian. I've been trying to turn the other cheek. I've been trying to walk in forgiveness, but there got to be some expiration to my grace. I mean, God, you see all that's happening. You see all that they have done and are doing. And so, Jesus, I'm going to be Christian about it. And so I'm going to raise a suggestion. Peter raises a suggestion, and he says, should I forgive them seven times? I mean, that's a good Christian number because, you know, seven is the number of completion. And so I'm coming with at least this suggestion, Lord. It's above and beyond because the rabbinical teaching was that you are supposed to forgive those who offended you at least three times, because by the fourth time, they'll be declared a repeat offender. And so under rabbinical teaching, there was no obligation to forgive beyond three. So Peter, knowing Jesus, raises the standard, says, oh, well, Jesus, can I forgive them seven times? That means I'm able to count it, how many times they offended me. That means I'm able to keep a count of, see, like they did it this year, they did it last month, they did it. I'm able to write it down, to journal it down. And Jesus says something interesting there. You saw it in your text. He says, no. He says, I say to you, seven times 70, some translation says, are 70 times. The text really, Fred, is teaching us that the expectation of God is that when his believers who have been forgiven by him are offended by someone else, that we are to forgive a limitless time. That there ought not be any expiration on our forgiveness. And here, Jesus speaks. And let me pause, because we have to be honest. Is that hard? Okay, I got three people on this side right here. Some of y'all, it's hard to tell the truth. I mean, isn't it hard to just let go? I mean, that's what forgiveness is. It's to let go of vengeance. It's to let go or dismiss the hurt. It's not so much the hurt, but the offense. It's to let go and trust God. It's kind of what that Frozen song, I know she knew she was in the gospel when she was singing it. I don't know if she knew that, but she said, let it go, let it go. And here is the challenge. For the first response that Jesus gives to this inquiry by Peter, is that we ought to be willing to forgive all sins. Jesus teaches us. In fact, you know, being unforgiving is natural. Let me help somebody for a minute. You don't have to teach children to hit back when somebody hits them. Okay, I know it's Mother's Day and you think your child don't do anything wrong, but I'm just telling you. But Jesus teaches and continues to teach in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. He says, "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you." Look what Jesus says. He says that the world, natural, says you ought to hate those who hate you and love those who love you. But if you are a follower of mine, Christ says, you are to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say pray against those who persecute you. He said pray for those who persecute you. Because it said that those you pray for, you will not hate on. Matthew 6, you may know this. When disciples came to Jesus teaching, and he taught them the disciples' prayer, those who follow Christ, he said, when you pray, pray this way: "Our Father who art in, hallowed be thy name." Come on. "Thy kingdom come in earth as it is. Give us this day our, and as we forgive those who trespass against us, or forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." It's in the prayer that in order for us to even accomplish this, let me help you, we need to pray. And further on in that same text, Matthew 6:14, Jesus then explains, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not," somebody say, "if you do not." "But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." In other words, to forgive is to receive favor. To not forgive is to receive judgment. I want you to get this, because some of us right now, we need to release some things. There's some, we need to let go of some offenses, some things that happened in the past, parents who may have betrayed your trust, children who may have disappointed you. There's some things we have to begin to release as people of God and stop harboring the hurt, allowing it to be a cancer in our soul, not allowing us to achieve all that God wants us to achieve. There's some things we got to let go by the power of God. In fact, you ought to nudge somebody next to you and say, "It's time to let it go." Looks like another wrong song. But look at text. Peter says, "How many times, Lord?" God says, "You continue to forgive." Why? Because unforgiveness, brothers and sisters, is sin. Unforgiveness affects our worship. Unforgiveness impacts fellowship. But forgiveness is the fruit of being forgiven. Forgiveness is releasing a person from the offense. Forgiveness is relenting from revenge and restoring the relationship. Forgiveness is putting someone in the position that they were in prior to them offending you. It's not that you fully trust them with everything, but it's that you treat them as though they never betrayed your trust, full of compassion and love. And what motivates this? Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? What motivates this is that God forgives you. God forgives you. Did you hear me? God forgives you. C.S. Lewis said, "Forgiveness is a beautiful word until you have to have something to forgive." See, Jesus teaches us something, even in this text. He teaches us first that forgiveness is beyond the point of fairness. Look at text. Because the master in the parable that Christ gives us represents God, represents Christ our King. The master represents one who we give accountability to, and the servant represents us. And he says the master called the servant into account because the servant had a great debt. It's a debt numerically that he could not pay back. That is an incalculable debt. That it's so much that even if he were sold into slavery, his family was sold into slavery, everything that he earned or had or possessed was sold, he still would not make up for the debt that he owed. Can you see it? And he comes before the master, and the master says, I release you and forgive you of all your debt. You got to see yourself in text. Because reality is, all of us have sinned before God. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God, in his grace, he looked beyond your faults. He saw your needs. He blessed you anyway, time and time again. That many of us, if we're honest about it, we used up all the grace we had on yesterday. And if we had to rely on yesterday's grace, we'd be in a bad place today. But because of God's amazing grace, every day of your life, he gives you more grace and more mercy. And with that, you ought to be grateful because God has been good to you. He's absolved of all of the debt, but that's not fair. But forgiveness isn't fair. Because if it was fair, then it wouldn't be forgiveness, it'd be justice. The master releases the debt that is owed to him. I want you to get this. Because if God gave us what we deserved, go and look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about me. Yeah. If God gave you what we deserve, none of us would be here today. But it's only because of God's grace and God's mercy that he allows us still to live on. And he wants us to hold on to that, so that it will empower us to forgive the way he's calling us to forgive. He says unforgiveness is sin, and it affects our worship. It affects our fellowship. Forgiveness is the fruit of being forgiven, and forgiveness is releasing a person from their offense, and it's relenting from revenge. God knows what they did. You know what they did. And yet God says, in light of what they have done, look at what I did. Let's not miss this. Because Jesus teaches us that it's beyond fairness. 77 times 7. It's beyond fairness. So basically what Christ is telling Peter and teaching the disciples is that we don't stop forgiving. Children of God, Christians, do not stop forgiving. Better yet, stop forgiving when you reach the point of life where you do not need God to forgive you. Anybody there yet? Have you made it there yet? Where you didn't need God's forgiveness? Have you made it there yet? No, some of you right now, before you leave this congregation, on your way back to crowd all the restaurants, you may need to call God's forgiveness, because I know you're driving in Houston and people have a tendency to challenge your Christianity. But Jesus teaches us that we are not only to receive forgiveness as the master has given to the servant, but we are to extend forgiveness. You know, Oxford Press released a study that was done by Professor Zeki and Romea, who co-authored a study on neurological correlations of hate, in which they researched the neurological patterns of love and hate. And what they discovered was that within the cerebral cortex is the putamen and the insula. Those are areas of our brain in the frontal cortex and the forebrain of the cerebral cortex. And they realized that it illuminates. It illuminates when someone is in love. The way they did that is they took pictures and they gave to their subjects. And those who participated in the experiment, they would look at the picture of the person they love and their brain would light up. Can you think about somebody you love like that? Let your brain just light up. Can you just think? I'm just saying. Can you think about something? I mean, anyway. So the brain would light up. But they noticed a correlation because, check this out, Anthony, that when they gave them a picture of somebody they hated, the same neurological pathways lit up. But the only distinction or difference is that it lit up more when they saw someone they hated than when they saw someone they loved. Because it takes more brain power to hate than it takes to love. And you know what happens? We start rehearsing that hurt because we want to remember why we don't like them in the first place. We start rehearsing it in our minds. And as a result of that, we get stuck in the prison of the past, living in that painful asylum when God wants to break us free from that which is holding us down. And it calls for us to be willing to forgive just as Christ has forgiven us. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to stop holding a grudge against? Look, Jesus teaches us that in Christ you can be forgiven. That's the master releasing him for all his debt. In Christ you're empowered to forgive. And so there's an expectation even of the servant. But check out the servant. The servant got free of his debt. And the text says, as soon as he left, as he's on his way out, he goes, fine. Let me put this back up for a moment. He owed about $1 zillion worth of debt, bigger than the Powerball. And he goes out after he's been absolved of that debt, it's been written off. He goes out and he finds somebody who owes him $10. And he doesn't have mercy on the one who owes him $10. Because somewhere along the way, he did not appreciate in gratitude what had been given to him. Jesus is teaching us that we ought to forgive, one, because God has so graciously forgiven us. The night Jesus was betrayed and arrested, all his disciples deserted him. All of them ran away. Every single one of them who committed their lives to him deserted him. He could have considered them as untrustworthy. He could have considered them that they prove that they're not willing to follow him. He could have seen their commitment as a one-sided relationship. But Jesus never leaves them. When he was betrayed, he was hung on a cross. And as he is on the cross being nailed, the first prayer that's uttered out of his mouth is what? Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Jesus has done all of this. Jesus could have disassociated himself from his disciples, but instead, he demonstrated love, a love that you and I are to model. How many times did God have sufficient cause to forgive us? How many times did God have sufficient cause to not forgive you? In Christ, when you consider all that Jesus have done, that he's taken the penalty and punishment of all our sins upon himself, placed it on the cross, bled and died for us, that our forgiveness is not then therefore out of a guilt. Our forgiveness should be a response of gratitude, that if God is willing to forgive me of all my stuff, then I shouldn't hold anything against anybody else who has done something wrong to me. Seven truths I want you to remember. Truth is, we all need forgiveness. And we forgive because we are forgiven. God forgives us and enables us. He gives us the power to forgive others. I told you, forgiveness isn't fair. And forgiveness is to be given fully. Verse 27 says, he released him and forgave him of everything. In response, we should do the same. Oh, and by the way, forgiveness is not about forgetting. In fact, if we're honest about it, some things we wish we could forget, what others have done for us, but we can't forget it. But forgiveness is not about forgetting. Actually, I think it's all about remembering. Remember how Jesus delivered you. Remember how Jesus forgave you. Remember how Jesus has built you back up. Remember how Jesus has rescued you. Remember how Jesus has healed you. Remember how Jesus continues to bless you over and over and over and over again. Remember what Christ has done for you. So anytime anyone offends you, you look at the cross and know that if Christ could die for me, then I can release you of everything you've done to hurt me. Jesus is saying that we should forgive the complete amount. In other words, we are to keep forgiving until there's no more to forgive. Because forgiveness isn't something we do once. It's the way we live our lives. I close this way, this message this way. Hopefully you catch it. There was a commercial back in the day where a mother was cooking in the kitchen. Mother cooking in the kitchen, and the son would come up as the mother was cooking spaghetti in a pot full of spaghetti sauce, and the pot was full. It was vibrant with spaghetti sauce. Some of you might remember this. The aroma was filling the house, and the young man would go and smell inside the pot, and the mom would say, and he'd say, "Mom, where are the mushrooms?" She'd say, "It's in there." "Mom, where are the peppers?" It's in there." "Mom, where are the meatballs?" Mom would say, "It's in there." Some of you remember Prego? You remember Prego? It's in there. Well, when you look at the cross and the blood of Christ, when you're looking for help and power to be able to forgive someone, you got to look at the blood of Christ, because it's in there. My ability to forgive somebody, it's in there. My ability to go above and beyond and love in spite of, it's in there. Where is it? It's at the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart, some of you know, rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. And now I am. It's the life that Christ wants you to live. Now I'm happy all the day. Because unforgiveness is like a prison that drains you of the life that God intends for you to live. And on this Sunday, this Mother's Day, he's challenging us to let it go, to trust him, to stop rehearsing the hurt, stop practicing the pain, and lay it at the Master's feet, and allow the love that he has lavished upon you to flow through you, that you might forgive those who have offended you. Right now, I ask you to bow your heads all over the building, because the greatest offense is sin against the will of God. For sin has formed a chasm between mankind and God. And Jesus, in his love, paved the way that we might have God's forgiveness. For the Bible says, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. In other words, you will be forgiven of all of your sins. And with that, you'll be guided by the Spirit of God to be forgiving toward others. I do not want you to bear the consequences of unforgiveness. Listen to what the Master says, that our Heavenly Father will do to every one of us if we do not forgive our brother from our heart. I asked you earlier, who do you need to forgive? In fact, some of you need to agree with God and forgive yourself. Forgive that loved one that mistreated you, hurt you, betrayed your trust. Forgive that friend that revealed themselves as an enemy. Forgive that sibling who you haven't spoken to in years. Forgive that coworker. Forgive your child. Forgive your parents. That as you receive the forgiveness of God, allow it to flow through you, that you would forgive others. I'm going to pray with you right now. That as God reveals to you those areas in your life, those relationships that needs forgiveness, I pray that he would strengthen you to do just that, to be obedient to his will and forgive those who have hurt. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word and challenge of your word, that And Christ, not only do you command us to forgive, you've modeled it before us. That through you, we receive forgiveness of all our sins, every one of them, our past sins, our present sins, our future sins. That when we place our trust in you, Christ Jesus, you assure us that our sins, our sinful debt, is paid in full. And we thank you for that. Thank you for that gift of grace. Now help us that we might obediently and in gratitude express the very forgiveness you've given us toward others. Because we want to be pleasing in your sight. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.